Anna, but Tasha Cobbs. When she starts that song, she says, "Use your key, use your key." I want to give you the key this morning to the worship that we had this morning. There's a key, you know what? If you are relying on coming on a Sunday morning and being able to worship together with others, you are being robbed. Because we should spend more time worshiping on our own than worshiping together with others. But you see, it's easy on a Sunday morning because there's a corporate anointing that happens. And even though you don't know it, you are getting picked up and moved along with that thing. And so you need to be aware of that. It's wonderful. While you're here, you need to enjoy it and go with it. But you need to know that as you leave here, you're going to be on your own again. Unless you're married, then at least there's two of you, and you probably don't worship together anyway. And so it comes down to, what is the key? What is the key? You tell me, and then I'll say yes or no. For me, the key and the function of the Holy Spirit is to get us into the presence of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you can dance, you can shout, you can listen to music. Without the Holy Spirit, your heart will not be caught up into the presence of the throne room of God. Because it's actually, I'm going to show you this morning, it's actually His responsibility to actually get us into the throne room of God. We don't have to struggle, we don't have to shake, we don't have to do anything. We just got to ask the Holy Spirit, and then we need to open ourselves to be able to enter into the throne room of God. We don't need any other funny thing, but we need to enlarge our theology and our experience of the Holy Spirit. We all got great theology when it comes to the Holy Spirit, but as soon as it moves into experience, we're like, "Ooh, I wonder if this is okay." Some people do things differently. Oh, I wonder if that's okay. And straight away we're judging instead of pushing into what God has got for us. I do hope that if you dance and you wave flags, that you do it at home too. You don't just do it here on a Sunday. That you're doing it at home. Because if it's just on a Sunday, it's performance. But if it's at home and it's with God and you're pushing into God, and that's how I feel about these guys, but I know that they do it outside of Sunday. You can't get in to the throne room of God without the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'll show you now that we have to move, but you know what? No one's offended by theology, but they're easily offended by experience. Oh, we shouldn't do that. Or, oh, we shouldn't do that. And actually, they lose what God is trying to do in them. And it took me a long time to be, because I'm an engineer before I became a pastor. And so engineers think. So my experience was hampered. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit very quickly. But when he wanted to start to do things, hey, put your hands up, dance, move your arms around, that didn't come so easily. And you know what? You're being robbed if you don't do that stuff. You're being robbed. It's not easy, but if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to help you, you might do the right moves, but it's not the Holy Spirit. What was the greatest gift of man to God? Greatest gift of God to man, sorry. It was his son Jesus. Not a trick question. It was Jesus. Everyone's thinking, oh, I hope he doesn't ask me because I'm not sure whether it's the Holy Spirit or if it's Jesus. But you know what? The Holy Spirit was the second greatest gift. The second greatest gift. And you know what the sad thing is? If I came to you on Christmas Day and I gave you two, massive boxes as presents, I can guarantee you that you'll open both of them. And God has come to us and He's given us these two presents, and we only want to open the one. I can promise you there are not many people that leave a box closed. Especially my wife. So we're going to look at the functions of the Holy Spirit. What He does, how He enables us to do things. So 1 John 16:7. My dog sitter that's coming to look after our house while we're away. She's an amazing lady. My dogs love her sometimes more than us, I think. They're excited. They know she. When we start packing and getting ready to know, they know she's coming. So John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. So Jesus is saying to us, it's your advantage because I'm going. Wow. For I do not go away, the advocate, the comforter, the helper, there's a whole lot of words that fit in there, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Goodness me, when Jesus talks about he's going to send somebody, he's going to send them. We need to receive him. Spoke about that last week. We need to receive. It's not a command. And so that word, comforter, that fits in there. What do they use? Counselor. It's comforter as well. It's advocate. It's helper. We always think comforter. Oh, comforter. Comforter means he'll come and hold me nicely and he'll take care of me. I'll think I'm back in my mother's arms. Isn't that what we think of comforter? I definitely don't think of comforter when I think of my wife. Because she doesn't let me be comforted too long. She'll just say, hey, come, let's get a move on out of here. Let's go forward. But that word comforter actually means the opposite to what we think it does. It says the Holy Spirit will put you in the face of battle, in the most difficult, uncomfortable place, and then he'll come stand next to you. And he'll say, come, let's go forward. He won't leave you wallowing around in self-pity. That's not his job. I don't know if you guys remember, I told the story about this huge tapestry that was made in one of the churches in England, one of the old churches. And if you look at this tapestry, there's this guy called Bishop Odin. He's standing behind his troops and he's got this lance and he's prodding them. And that's the word comforter. That's the true meaning of the word comforter. We've changed it. We've made it a warm, fuzzy, cuddly word. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, hey, we're going to go forward. We're going to go forward. And so we're like, I'm so glad I made your ex laugh, eh? Because you're not going to laugh when I'm finished with you. So that word is not written in the English. It's not written in Latin. It's actually written in Greek. That's why it's got corrupted. And comfort, we got a different word to actually what it was. And it's so funny because when Patty teaches on the prophetic, there's a EEC. So it's to edify, to encourage, and to comfort. That word comfort means, come on, get a move on. It doesn't mean, oh, this is such a nice word. I can just go outside in the sun. It's coming summer now. I can get a lovely tan. No, it means, come on, let's go forward. It's the word parakletos. It means come alongside, very close. The closest person to me in human form is my wife, Patricia. Trish, babe, she's got a whole lot of names. Patty when I'm cross. Never. The the rest of it, kaleo, means to beckon or to call. And so when you put it together, it means the Holy Spirit is permanently called to your side to provide coaching, direction, instruction, counsel. He's permanently there. But you know what? That's why I'm saying this morning, if you want to get into the presence of God, He's right here, but you've got to work with Him. You've got to be ready to receive Him. John 16 and verse 8, it says, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict the world of sin. So we need to be aware. We need to be listening. When I had three sons and they were still small, like some of you guys have, when I called them, I'm just going to pick the oldest one, Seth. I'd say, Seth! Yes, Dad. But you know what the problem is? God doesn't do that. God says, Seth. That's why when people say to me, I can't hear God, my stock statement is, what was the last thing you heard God tell you to do? Go back there and do it so you can start hearing Him again. Oh, it was so cute and so heartwarming. My little granddaughter, going on leave, I'm not going to see her for 3 weeks. She almost wheedled her way into coming with us. But I actually said, no, you can't. And her dad said, no, that's too long, my babe. But she came to our place it was last weekend, though. She was here. And Patty had said to her, you can go spend some time on the iPad, but do not download any games. You can play what's on the iPad. And so two nights later, Patty gets this call from Sam. Granny. I'm quite good at this, eh? Doesn't look pretty. So Sam says, you want to tell Granny something, eh? Yes, I would. So you know what happened? She downloaded a game. She didn't tell us. That night, when she was going to bed, and her parents go and pray with her before they go to bed, the Holy Spirit convicted her. And she said, Mom, I can't go to sleep because I've downloaded a game. For her, that's a big thing. Because she knows now, no more iPad for a very long time. And she sobbed her way through telling Patty. I just thought, you know what? Such a young child. But that's why Jesus says, let the little ones come to me. Their hearts are soft and they're tender. And I want to tell you that in John 16, 8, it says, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Guys, if the Holy Spirit starts to convict you, do something about it. Repent. If it's against somebody, go to them. If you have stolen, restore. Restitution. John 14 and verse 25, it says, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. After all this I've spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Counselor, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. You know what? It's the Holy Spirit that gives us fresh insight. Not the concordance and the commentary and all those things. Yes, those things are good, but it's the Holy Spirit that'll give you revelation. What's revelation? Revelation is darkness revealed. Something that was in the dark is now revealed and come into the light. So when the Holy Spirit filled the guards in the book of Acts, He became their personal teacher and enabled them to remember. Isn't there times when you think, hey, I know there's a scripture that says this, but I don't know where it is. You know what? The Holy Spirit will enable you to remember. I've got a bad memory, but when it comes to scripture, I've got a good memory. When I've heard people preach, I don't forget the main things in that preach. It's incredible. My son said to me when he was much younger, because he used to read Sherlock Holmes books. He says one of the things that Sherlock Holmes did was he never ever remembered stuff that would help him down the road. He would just have the ability to forget it, not waste time concentrating on it. Romans 8:14. I'm so glad the scripture's in the Bible. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Folk, you know what? He will lead us, not only spiritually, physically, emotionally. He will lead us through our life. He will not let us down. That word led in Romans 8:14, for all who are led, is a continuing presence. So it carries on all the time. It never stops. And it's not a few isolated experiences in your life. If you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit and you are hanging onto His coattails, He will lead you through life. I can say that He's done that for me. For 37 years, He's done that for me. 25 years full-time ministry. You know what? Christians place more emphasis on one-off experiences. I was born again. One-off experience. I was baptized in water. One-off experience. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. One-off experience. Are you continuing in the work of the Holy Spirit? To be a Christian, and I want to put this out there, to be a Christian, if you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you could end up losing your salvation. Because it means you're determining, you're looking to yourself to be able to get through times that are difficult. This is so exciting. People come to you and they say, I believe that God wants me to do this. Will you pray for me so that God will bless what I want to do? Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. Works God prepared beforehand that we should work in them. So instead of asking God to bless what you want to do, why don't you get into what He wants you to do, and He will bless you. You won't have to be, oh, I wonder if God... No, I've heard God. I often walk with people, or they talk to me, or something like that, and I wonder, won't you just pray for God to bless what I'm doing? My answer is, are you doing what God wants you to do? Maybe they say yes. That's great. But if they say no, I tell them, hey, you better go and find what God wants you to do. And you see, that's being led by the Spirit. That's not just deciding, oh, this is what I'm going to do. That's everyday walk. People don't like to take their Christianity into their everyday walk. They want to leave it in this box here on a Sunday and come on a Wednesday. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to take you and point you and lead you to God. I can feel I'm going to fall down after this because I'm giving it gears here. I'm going to preach at Durbanville this afternoon. I can't wait. I haven't preached there for 2 years. They're going to see a different person. You know what? So much is wasted on fruitless, time-consuming, sweat-producing activities. In the Old Testament, if you were a priest and you sweated, out or chop, which speaks of doing it in your own strength. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He will testify about Jesus. When you're losing track just a little, and you're starting to head off in your own thing, the Holy Spirit will come. No, this is where you go. This is where Jesus is. You don't have to worry about losing the plot. Holy Spirit, I need you. I want to be close to Jesus. And your word says that you will point me to him. So come and do your job. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So he guides you into truth. Not bits and pieces like we read the Bible. Oh, the Lord's got this promise for us. No, he guides you. Every scripture's got a context. We read it. We understand it. And you know what? Without the Holy Spirit, you won't. You might think you do with your commentaries and your dictionaries and whatever you like. I use those, but I read first and I give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to me. And then when I've got that from him, I'll go into the other things to see how do I compare. The part that I always love about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20. There's a lot more, but I'm going to finish out today. It says, for the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but of power. Power. I could have died 4 years ago. But the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit of power, came and saved my life, gave me another chance. Not chance, gave me another opportunity to do what he had asked me to do. A result of baptism of the Holy Spirit is supernatural empowering. I get really scared when people want to reduce the Holy Spirit to just words and stuff. There's power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so I define the work of the Holy Spirit as follows. The work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world and in the church. Both of them. Active presence. Things are happening. And you know what? These guys that walk along and they're in the name of Jesus and they push people over and they trip them and they do all sorts of things. They try to do that to me when I first got saved. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is called the anointing. It's not a box of tricks, but the ability to get the work done. I wonder if you could bow your heads. Walking with the Holy Spirit starts with salvation. And many of us think we're saved, but we're actually not saved. We're not being led by the Holy Spirit. We're just floundering along. And the Holy Spirit will help you, but if you're moving in the wrong direction, he's eventually going to say, hey, you come onto my line, I'm not coming onto yours. And then we know if it's like 1 degree, eventually it's going to be over there. And so I don't believe that once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. I believe the word says, work out your fear, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why is that? Because you can lose your salvation. So this morning, if you're sitting here, and even if you're saying the right things and doing the right things, you know in your heart there's emptiness this morning. If you want to recommit your life to the Lord or surrender your life to the Lord, I wonder if you'd stick your hand up. I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you.